Things are bad on the Colorado River, and we all may have to cut back on water.
That will be bloody.
Listen to Imperfect Paradise, the Gen Z water dealmaker, wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Austin Cross. Join me for LAist's new live event series with the James Beard Foundation. We Are Where We Eat will go behind the scenes of LA restaurants. The kickoff event is May 22nd. Tickets at laist.com/events.
Today on the LA Report, the daughter of an Orange County supervisor is commenting for the first time on questions about how a nonprofit that listed her as a leader spent millions in pandemic relief money. Well, we don't know if the happiest place on earth can get any happier, but Disneyland is about to get bigger. And the people mover under construction at LAX now won't move people until late next year. It's Wednesday, April 17th. I'm Nick Roman. This is the LA Report from LAist 89.3. Details about how millions of federal pandemic relief dollars were spent in Orange County are missing. LAist uncovered the issue, and senior reporter Nick Gerda has been tracking developments. Here's Nick with an update.
At stake is what happened to at least $2.7 million in taxpayer dollars meant to feed residents in need during the pandemic. Now, the 22-year-old daughter of OC Supervisor Andrew Doe is commenting for the first time. She says she had a limited role in the Huntington Beach nonprofit that handled the taxpayer money. That's despite multiple public records obtained by LAist that show her in top leadership roles.
LAist senior reporter Nick Gerda. LAist found Supervisor Doe directed more than $13 million to the nonprofit where his daughter Rhiannon Doe worked. The majority was directed outside the public's view and did not appear on public agendas. County staff have told the nonprofit it might be required to pay back the money if it can't show how it was spent. You can read more of Nick's reporting on the Doe investigation at LAist.com. Back in December 2021, a 14-year-old girl was shot and killed by mistake when an LAPD officer fired at a man attacking people inside a Burlington coat factory in North Hollywood. Well, today, California Attorney General Rob Bonta announced he would not file criminal charges against that officer. The story from LA's Civics and Democracy correspondent Frank Stoltz.
Police were responding to reports of an active shooter when they found Daniel Elena Lopez holding a U-shaped metal bike lock and standing above a bloodied woman. Bonta has concluded Officer William Jones Jr. reasonably believed Lopez was holding a gun when he opened fire, killing Lopez. One of Jones' bullets pierced a nearby dressing room wall and killed 14-year-old Valentina Oriana Peralta. Her family has filed a wrongful death lawsuit. For LAist 89.3, I'm Frank Stoltz.
The San Gabriel City Council last night voted to dissolve the city's Human Equity, Access, and Relations Commission. It's known as the HEAR Commission. It had promoted anti-Asian hate efforts and mental health programs. Most recently, the HEAR Commission had proposed a program for businesses to post rainbow stickers to show they were safe spaces for LGBTQ people. Well, the San Gabriel City Council's John Harrington said that was too political and that San Gabriel does not have an anti-LGBTQ problem. Dozens of people pleaded with the council to keep the HEAR Commission, but it voted 3-2 to eliminate it. When we come back, the happiest place on earth might not get happier, but it's soon going to get bigger. And we'll tell you why the people mover under construction at LAX won't move people until late next year.
Support for LAist comes from Apple TV Plus, presenting Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, starring Kurt Russell, Wyatt Russell, Anna Sawai, and Godzilla. Two siblings follow in their father's footsteps to uncover his involvement with Monarch, a secretive organization connected to Godzilla. TV Line says this series is incredible, and Empire roars that it's epic. Following this podcast, you can hear remarks by father and son acting duo Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell and executive producer Chris Black. More on Monarch Legacy of Monsters at fyc.appletvplus.com.
The 1992 Los Angeles uprising, the Cambodian genocide, Japanese American incarceration. What you know isn't always the full story. Our new podcast, Inheriting, about Asian American and Pacific Islander families where the past is personal.
Korean Americans, we call it Sa-i-gu.
Did you ever realize when you were a child that you became an orphan?
Camp was such a hard time. How do you think you got through it?
Listen to Inheriting from LAS Studios and the NPR Network, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the LA Report. I'm Nick Roman. Disneyland, the happiest place on earth, is a step closer to becoming a bigger, happiest place. Details from LA's host, Austin Cross.
It's safe to say the Disneyland folks are having a wonderful day after the Anaheim City Council unanimously approved their Disneyland Forward plan last night. The nearly $2 billion proposal makes way for a whole new world of new developments. More hotels, retail spaces, and of course, more attractions, all without expanding the park's 500-acre footprint. But the park will also have to invest in Anaheim and shell out $30 million for affordable housing and infrastructure upgrades. Still, almost, the city council must give final approval next month. I'm Austin Cross.
21 U.S. airports have people movers to get travelers to terminals or off the airport grounds, but not LAX. The one now under construction was supposed to open last year and then early next year. LAist reporter Caitlin Hernandez says now the LAX people mover won't move people until late 2025.
According to Fitch Ratings, an independent third party that's evaluating the project's financing, it's been delayed largely because of a, quote, strained relationship between the airport and its contractor, Linxis. The report says Linxis needs information related to the airport's IT network, which it will use to create train testing protocols. There's also disagreement about payment milestones and the final deadline for construction completion. LAX declined to discuss the project's timeline, but says they're working to resolve the outstanding claims. For LAIST 89.3, I'm Caitlin Hernandez.
And we have more about the reasons the people mover at LAX won't be ready until late 2025. You'll find it online at LAIST.com. You know, there was a time when citrus and olive groves covered the San Fernando Valley. Of course, now the valley grows houses, but its agricultural history survives at Sylmar Charter High School. The students in the school's agriculture program grow fruit and vegetables, plus flowers and native plants. They do it on a two-acre plot on campus. Historian Jean-Paul de Guzman says it connects the students to the valley's legacy as rich farmland tended to by immigrant workers.
Having students gain this valuable knowledge of the environmental history of the San Fernando Valley shows them that the local is their entry point to understanding the complexities of global events and even the migrations that might have brought their families to this place.
Oh, and remember the flowers the students grow? They become the corsages, boutonnieres, and centerpieces for the Sylmar Charter High School prom. Check out our story at LAIST.com. Thanks for listening to the LA Report. I'm Nick Roman. Be sure to listen again tomorrow morning when Suzanne Watley brings you the LA Report AM edition. The LA Report is produced by Nate Perez, Libby Rainey, and Tiffany Ujiye. Megan Garvey is the executive editor. Catherine Mailhouse, our director of content development. Our engineer, Tui Mao. Original music by Scott Kelly. You can read more about this evening's stories at LAIST.com. You can also listen live anytime on the LAIST app or on the radio at 89.3 FM. You know, listeners like you help make the LA Report possible, so please donate at LAIST.com/join. This podcast is supported by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe quality journalism makes Southern California a better place to live.
Support for LAIST comes from Apple TV+. Presenting Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, starring Kurt Russell, Wyatt Russell, Anna Sawai, and Godzilla. Father and son acting duo Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell play older and younger versions of Lee Shaw, the founder of Monarch, a secretive organization connected to Godzilla. As actors and team players, Kurt and Wyatt have a lot in common.
We've had a similar life. His game was hockey, mine was baseball. One point in our lives, it was how we were going to make our living. To apply that to our business, I don't know how to look at life other than as a win-lose ball game. I think we're the type of people that like, we want to be impact players. And you want to help your club win every time you go out there. Whether that club's a movie set, a story you're telling, on the ice, on the baseball field.
I think we realize that we are much more alike than we are different.
Here's executive producer Chris Black.
I think it should be about this family. I think it should be about secrets. It should be about a pair of siblings discovering each other and discovering that their father could not be trusted and was not the man he said he was. That's what brings them together and sends them on a quest, if you will, to find out the truth about the family and their father. And it's that journey that takes you into the world of the monsters.
For Kurt and Wyatt Russell, being so close helped them sort out how to both play the same character.
We work together quite a bit. We work together well.
What's been your most favorite part of the show?
When I was working with you on trying to figure Lee Shaw out, yeah. You know, and then taking it to the guys and saying, what do you think? Who is this guy? Where is he going to go? Where did he come from? And doing that with you, I've actually never done that really with another actor, but I've never played
the same role.
So that was fun.
TV Line says Monarch, Legacy of Monsters is incredible. And Empire roars that it's epic. More on Monarch, Legacy of Monsters at fyc.appletvplus.com.